Welcome to the From the Vine podcast. I'm your host, Bob Heifel, a reporter and writer of the From the Vine wine column for The Record in Stockton, California. I'm certified level 3 with the Wine and Spirit Education Trust and a part-time tasting room associate at the Lodi Wine and Visitor Center. I hope you enjoy this podcast, which focuses on the Lodi American Viticultural Area. I welcome your comments and reviews on our Facebook group page at recordnet.com/FTV209. And you can follow us at FTV209 on Twitter and Instagram. In the winemaking world, Chad Joseph is a rock star. Now, he would never describe himself that way, so I'll do it for him. Chad started big, his winemaking career, in a big way with Ian J. Gallo. And then after time with Ian J. Gallo, he kind of went small, working with boutique wineries in the Lodi American Viticultural Area. Joseph currently plies his trade at Harney Lane Oak Farm Vineyards, as well as Dancing Coyote and other clients. He grew up in Visalia and helped tend his grandfather's Thompson seedless grape vineyard. Went to Humboldt State to study botany and chemistry, planned to be a teacher, but upon graduating in 1996, kind of got bit by the wine bug. We can talk about that, and got into the wine consulting business. At Gallo, which was his first job, if I'm not mistaken, out of college, Chad worked up his way up from a lab technician into one of the many winemakers for Gallo, and then launched his own wine brand, and then after a few years began doing his wine consulting business. So he's a fixture here in the Lodi area, very well respected, incredibly knowledgeable. If you haven't had the pleasure of meeting Chad Joseph along the wine trail, you're in for a treat. He's extremely personable, knowledgeable, and I'm just so thrilled to have you be our first guest on the From the Vine podcast. So welcome, Chad.
It's my honor, Bob. I'm happy to be here, and thanks for the introduction.
Well, why don't we talk about the wines you got today, Chad, and go through them. Where would you like to start?
So I'll start first with Albarino. This is from Oak Farm Vineyard. This is the 2017 Albarino. This is actually sourced from three different vineyards. And in Lodi, Lodi is a large appellation. There actually are multiple small sub-AVAs. And so this one comes from the McCollum River sub-AVA. It also comes from the Jehant AVA. And then we have Silver Spoons Vineyards, which is Alta Mesa sub-AVA. So it's kind of a, within Lodi, we always think of it as one kind of style or growing area. Actually, with the sub-AVAs in Lodi, there are different soil types and kind of different expressions of fruit. You know, some areas, I think, reds do better. Some areas, whites do better. But I'm pouring this Albarino because a lot of people don't think of Lodi as a great place to grow white wines. They think of Lodi as being too warm. Mm-hmm. And Albarino is an up-and-coming variety. If you haven't heard of it, it's a grape that's popular in Spain. That's where the grape originates from. But we do a great job of growing Albarino in Lodi because we're able to have the cool nights, that Delta breeze that comes in. And the way we make it is we don't allow the fruit to get overripe. So you'll see nice citrus, nice bright floral, almost lime kind of white flower aroma, tangerines or maybe something that you would smell in it.
Absolutely. I get the tangerine on it and the citrus very, very much. So as you were mentioning, this is a Spanish variety grown in Galicia in the Rías Baixas region where it's in close proximity to the Atlantic Ocean. You get a lot of that ocean influence, even to the point of a little bit of salinity coming through in those wines, whereas these are more fruit forward, which I think is a telltale sign of Lodi. You really get the fruit on this Albarino, and it's absolutely beautiful.
Well, thank you. Yeah, exactly. I think that's one thing people always ask, what would kind of define Lodi? How can you, you know, make it, differentiate it from other AVAs. And I think volume is always a way of explaining that. We have a really good way of getting the most fruit expression out of varieties and get more volume. But there's still that minerality,
right?
Which is what you touched on. There's still that nice, bright, crisp acidity. It's maybe not as sharp or coarse as a Galician Albarino, but it definitely has that nice, crisp, clean finish to it. But you get more volume and more fruit expression with the Lodi Albarinos.
Real nice round mouth feel. Say that five times fast.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. But how do you treat this wine? How do you deal with this grape?
So this grape, we hand harvest it early morning. So we want to pick it without losing any of that varietal character. We put it in half ton picking bins. They're normally, for those of you who aren't in the industry, those are the smaller boxes. They're not the little hand lugs, but they're smaller boxes. And then we take the grapes direct to the press, whole cluster, and we press them very gently. So we're extracting the juice without getting a lot of the phenolics or the tannins that you would get out of the skin. And then it's cold fermentation. We really try not to lose any of that fruit expression. And then after the wine is fermented, we keep it cool and we actually age the wine on light lees. Mm-hmm. And the lees are really the dead yeast cells or the light solids that were in the wine to kind of help round out and get that nice silky texture in the mouthfeel. And some of this we'll actually leave in stainless steel barrels. Most barrels made of oak, but these are actually stainless steel, made of stainless steel. And that helps to kind of, again, not let the wine oxidize or get bruised or lose its fruit. And we get that nice richness and that nice creaminess through that light lees aging. So it's bottled quite soon, actually. This year we waited a couple of months. Normally we bottled this one in December. We're bottling this year's. This is 2017. So 2018, we'll bottle that in early February just to get a little more lees contact time. We like that richness the lees give to the wine. I have Harding Lane Winery. This is the Lerner family. Kyle and Georgia are the proprietors. Kathy and George Mettler are the parents of Georgia, and this is their estate property that sits over off Harney Lane, like you mentioned. Mm-hmm. They are 100% estate-grown fruit. So what that means is all the wines that they bottle under the Harney Lane label are managed or owned by Kyle and Georgia, and the fruit is controlled by them all the way from the vineyard into the bottle. The Chardonnay actually comes from two of their vineyards on this vintage. This is the 2017 vintage, and Chardonnay is a very, probably the most popular wine grape out there. So most people who are people who enjoy wine have heard of Chardonnay. It's the mm-hmm. most consumed variety, that and Cabernet, in the world. So they do their Chardonnay a little different in the sense they do it more of the classical kind of Burgundian or California style. And that is, they take this wine and they barrel ferment it in oak. And a portion of this wine is aged in French oak, about 30%. And it's a very popular, it's almost become one of their signature white wines. So the Albarino, we had that stainless steel, kind of crisp, clean style. When we go to this Chardonnay, you're going to see more of the oak influence. And we also do malolactic bacteria in addition on some of it. That gives us that nice butter, creamy kind of characteristic. So a little fatter, a little more rich, a little more of, let's say, pineapple, turnover, you know, get the tropical fruits, but you're also getting some of the sweeter, like butterscotch and caramel, and that's that French oak. This is aged on those heavier lees, since we barrel ferment it, for about 9 months. And then that really helps to round it out, and it's what we would call more of a full-bodied wine, whereas this one is more of a lighter, medium-bodied style wine.
Right. Great creaminess to it. It doesn't go over the top, though.
Yes.
There's still that green apple, but it does have that butterscotch. I get a little vanilla too on it.
Yep.
The mouthfeel, I would definitely say it's medium bodied for a Chardonnay. It really has beautiful texture and really nice structure, I think is a word maybe associated with tannins. So I don't know if I would say structure.
Yeah, no, but you're right.
It has structure.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And that's a wine people always talk about, ageability on wines and whatnot. and that's why typically your Chardonnays, you could buy this and age this for 2, maybe 5 years in your cellar, and it would actually evolve with that age, I think, positively, and you would get a because of the tannins from the oak and whatnot. But this Albarino, I would say, hey, drink it within a year. The characteristics are a little more fragile, and the things that we like on this are not as ageable, whereas these Chardonnays, you could age them a little bit longer. But it's one of the they sell out of this wine every year. It's a wine club favorite, and it's become one of kind of their signature variety. So if people ever go to Harney Lane, always kind of ask about the Chardonnay. It's a great example of people don't think about Lodi as a great area region to grow Chardonnay. This is a good example of yes, it is if it's made correctly. The next two wines I have are both Zinfandel. They both are Heritage Society vineyards, and so what that means is the Heritage Society of Vineyards are it's a nonprofit organization that registers older vineyards that are historically important to California's agricultural heritage. And so the Morfry Vineyard, and Morfry is a very popular, well-regarded grower in Lodi. Right. If you haven't heard of Morfry, check out the name. It's the Fry family, or Bruce and Jerry Fry are the ones who are in charge of that and who do the farming. But they have a collection of really outstanding vineyards, and they're great growers in our area. And so Oak Farm sources some Zinfandel from one of the Morfry vineyards, and they have a single vineyard wine I'm going to pour you that's only sold at the wine club right now. And these vineyards are planted in the 1940s. They're old vine, head-trained Zinfandel. And we're starting to, at Oak Farm, try to take a look at the different unique vineyards that are here in California. And that's really neat, because not a lot of people realize that in Lodi, we actually have the largest collection of old vine, kind of heritage quality vineyards around in California. And Zinfandel really is America's varietal. I mean, it's something that no other wine region has. And so it's really special to United States, and particularly to California. And you see a lot of plantings in the Lodi area from people that came through the Gold Rush era up until, you know, heck, 40s, 50s, and even currently. But a lot of these vineyard cuttings were taken and planted, and you have a lot of these isolated old vine vineyards that don't get made as single vineyards anymore. And so at Oak Farm, we are trying to do that with a couple of our single vineyard Zinfandel bottlings, and highlight these unique varietals or unique vineyard sites, right, to kind of showcase that heritage.
Do you see that as something that the region really should embrace? I think to differentiate not only the sub-AVAs, but the vineyards from where these come. Other parts of the world have done that for centuries, and even don't varietally label.
Yep.
It's the vineyard and the place that's on the label.
Yeah.
It would be great if we could get to that point some maybe a couple centuries down the road, but we're working on it.
Well, and that's the evolution you're seeing. I think it's taking hold more, and it's a part of getting a higher price point. I mean, I think as the wine industry evolves, people who are paying more for the bottle of wine that they're enjoying, they want more of, let's say, the terroir, place, identity. I mean, they want more of that character of what they're buying, and the story is very important. And so these, you know, you it's like an antique sofa or antique chair. There's only so much of them. Once they're gone, they're gone. And so we have to find a way of bottling and marketing these so that we can keep these in the ground, because once they're, and there are, it's happening, it's just economics. These old vineyards get removed so they can put more profitable, more desirable varieties in. But this is really our heritage, and this is our agricultural antiquity, you know, our ancient antiques.
Antiquities.
This is our history for our agriculture in our area. All the Zins that we make at Oak Farm, this is probably the most elegant.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I've looked at it as it's just had this pretty raspberry kind of cream fruit to it. You're right, it's not a heavy, jammy, raisin, date flavor type of Zinfandel. It's a very pretty, elegant style for Zinfandel, and it's very food friendly. So it's brighter, you know.
Yeah.
So definitely on the, we can in Lodi make a lot of different styles of Zinfandel, and this is definitely more in the restrained style.
Mm-hmm.
But the nose is amazing.
It really is.
It's very distinct.
It just blows you away.
Yeah, it's almost got this pomegranate jelly and baked bread crust kind of sweetness to it, which was just amazing.
And how did you treat this wine?
So this one is fermented in an upright with pump overs. We have done an inoculation of the yeast. Sometimes we use native yeast to try to bring out the flavors, but this is actually inoculated. And then what we're trying to do is a small percentage of new French oak. And they don't stay in the barrels for much more than 10 months. So we don't barrel age our Zinfandels for a long period of time at Oak Farm. They usually, after 10 months, they go in to kind of preserve that that freshness. But it's pretty much standard winemaking. We're just trying to let the fruit capture the fruit as it is and not, like you said, over extract it and try to go that route with that method of winemaking.
Right. Excellent. So now we're going to get into another old vine, Zinfandel, that you've worked with for a number of years at Harney Lane. And dare I say that this might become almost an iconic Lodi Old Vine Zinfandel, this Lizzie James vineyard.
Lizzie James is, it's been, they've made it since 2006. They've made wine before from it, but it's gotten a reputation as just a consistent, outstanding vineyard year after year. And I've always enjoyed working with it for that reason, because it's always consistent, other than it varies just depending on the vintage and the conditions that we got during that vintage. So Lizzie is everything you'd want out of a Zinfandel vineyard. It's got the concentration. I think it has the spice that you kind of were referring to. It's planted in 1904, so it's over 100 years old. It is also with Moore Fry. They are both Lodi Rule sustainably grown vineyards. And this is a cool vineyard that Kyle and his family, the Lerner family, picked up in 2003. So actually the vineyard has not been in their family for that long, but it's a great story of a vineyard that was once used for white Zinfandel, which is probably what saved it. But it was used for white Zinfandel, and it has slowly been turned back into a premium red, big, well-known single vineyard. It was lost before with, in those cases, or in those big tanks I was talking about, and is now made as a single vineyard and become getting notoriety for that.
So even the white Zinfandel kind of is poo-pooed by the critics, and people kind of turn their noses up to it. It actually saved a lot of Zinfandel vineyards here in Lodi from being pulled.
Yes.
And now that white Zinfandel, that market's kind of crashed. Growers are kind of finding themselves, as you were talking about earlier, in a position where some of these old vines are being pulled for more profitable, easier to grow varieties.
So, absolutely.
We're kind of at a crossroads in our history right now in terms with these old vines. But when you have Kyle and your and yourself that have committed to the complexities, the beauty that these old vine vineyards can produce, that's what's going to keep them in the ground. Hopefully consumers agree. And this is really a great wine here. And tell us about this particular Lizzie James vineyard from Harney Lane.
So Harney Lane, they've done this, like I said, since they've basically opened their doors. And this vineyard it's funny because a lot of the vineyards in Lodi are planted on very flat, leveled lots. Lizzie James, you can still see the natural contours in that vineyard from, before it was, it never has been leveled per se. And so those are the natural contours that have existed on that land for a long time. So it was planted in 1904, and then over the years, there are some vines that have died or some vines that have gotten taken out by a tractor. They've planted every like 10 years or so, they've replanted small amounts of that vineyard. So I would say more than 50% of it is still that original planting, but you've seen over the years, some vines on wood stakes, some vines on metal stakes, some, so you see this is this kind of chronological history of different. So you have a different clonal selection out there. A lot of these vineyards that are all old one planting, they're all one clonal, one variety selection of that grape variety. Lizzie James has multiple clonal selections in it. We make this in half ton picking bins. We do punch downs, so we don't pump the wine over. We actually do punch downs. We do a portion of this wine uninoculated, so we use the natural native indigenous yeast that exists in that vineyard to ferment the sugars into the alcohol. Some of this we inoculate. We have used French oak, about 30% new. We've used the same barrels ever since 2006. We've been real happy with the selection, so the barrel regime has stayed the same since we've been making this wine. And like I said, Lizzie James, you're going to get more concentration, a lot more fruit spice. There's a little red hot cinnamon kind of hint there that you'll get, but there's a really aromatic, perfumed red berry kind of jam that you get from this wine. It's not over the top, but it's the best way I can find to describe it to people.
Absolutely. I think another elegant example, a little more bold, for lack of a better word, than the more fry.
Right.
Really nice structure, medium bodied. I get cranberry on it.
Yes.
The blue fruit is really coming through.
Yeah.
And I do get a little bit of that spice, especially
at the back end. Yeah, I always say the red hots, the cinnamon candies, you know, but it's a pleasant,
absolutely,
you know. Yeah, and that's what you're seeing here is two different styles of Zinfandel. You're seeing the more bold, rich, big Lizzie James, and you're seeing more the refined, elegant more fry. Both of them Lodi Zinfandel.
Through and through.
Through and through. There's a little gamey, I always call it like a rhubarb kind of hint on the background that tells me that it's Lodi. But they're both beautiful examples of old vine Zinfandel for the Lodi region.
So 2018 seemed to be a real nice growing season. Very consistent.
Yes.
Didn't have heat spikes. Didn't have too much rain.
Yeah.
Didn't have cold at the wrong time.
Right.
Now that you're working with those wines right now, what are your thoughts about what 2018 might show?
Yeah, they're very clean, pure expressions. It's kind of Goldilocks vintage characteristics. So we are getting some of the better fruit expression, some nice tannins, not as harsh. You know, sometimes with cooler years that get real hot, sometimes we end up with underripe tannins, overripe sugars. So you're seeing the plushness in the wines come through, and also seeing a lot of the elegant fruit expression. So it's probably one of the better vintages I've seen in the 10 years. And it's a good thing. A lot of people don't realize this, but it's good for the wineries also, because when things get all ripe at one time, we still find a way to process them. And so maybe we take shortcuts on how long grapes can stay in the tanks or whatnot. But in this year, we actually had the time to do everything we wanted to do when we were processing the grapes, when we had them in the winery, to get the most out of them. And so that's something that you also, as a benefit of a good, prolonged, healthy vintage. So it's a great vintage. I'm super excited. It's nice as a winemaker. I mean, I'm only as good as my fruit. So it's nice as a winemaker to have good tools to work with, good resources to start with, because you're not going to make great wine out of bad grapes. You can make bad wine out of good grapes.
Good grapes.
But yeah.
But
yeah.
Never done that, and you certainly haven't done that with any of these. So we had the Albarino from Oak Farm, the beautiful Chardonnay from Harney Lane, and then two just terrific examples of old wine Zinfandel from Lodi, from Oak Farm, and from Harney Lane. And what these two really also exemplify is what you were talking about too, and just how different that variety can be based on where it's grown, based on the winemaker's touch on it. But terroir really plays, I think, a large role in several varieties, but Zinfandel is no exception, and they're all just beautiful, Chet.
Thank you, Bob. Yeah, and to people who are listening, come check out Lodi. You know, it's a up and coming region if you haven't heard of it, and it's a great experience as far as we're not crowded. You usually meet the owners, the people who make the wines at the winery, and it's a really really good thing to be a part of and to check out if you're into wine. And we try not to be pretentious about it. It's all about having fun and enjoying. And there's a lot of cool stuff happening out here.
Absolutely. So please do come to Lodi. I meet great people like Chad and taste these marvelous wines. We're up to about, I think, 70 or so tasting rooms, more than
yeah, I think it's over 80. Yeah, over 80 wineries and over 100 varieties planted. Yeah. So there's something out here for everybody.
Absolutely.
You know. So definitely, yeah.
Great, Chad. Thank you so much.
All right, Bob.
Appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thank you. All right.